I'm going to Ponty this week, I am. That's exciting, isn't it? I'll tell you where I'm going now, just. A trip to Pontypridd. And it's not even market day. But the shops will be open. Is it too early to be buying Christmas presents? If it's not, I've got a suggestion for you. Get a pen and paper ready. Pontypridd. Originally Pontytypridd, the bridge by the earthen house. It's famous for its old bridge and the rocking stone up on the common and the chain works, and as the home of two men with the same name who composed a song that's still going strong a century and a half later, though it's known by another name now. And as the hometown of another musician who changed his name and found fame. The fact is, Ponty has got a bit of a thing about names. Hang about, and I'll explain. Pontypridd. It's where all the people go when we got a tidy bit of shopping to do. I like to think of it as not in the Rhondda, but of the Rhondda. It's where the River Rhondda meets the Taff, and that's why it needed a bridge. Originally, a series of wooden bridges spanned the river, giving Ponty its name. Then a stonemason called William Edwards got to work. Depending how you look at it, he was either a genius of a bridge builder or a disaster waiting to happen. In 1756, at the fourth time of asking, he replaced the wooden bridge with what was, at the time, the longest single-span stone arch bridge in the world. The reason it was the fourth attempt was, of course, that the first three all fell down. His touch of genius on the fourth try was to make three round holes in the stonework at each end of the bridge, reducing its weight and making sure that it stayed up. Unfortunately, almost as soon as it was finished, people started to complain about the shape of the bridge itself. William Edwards designed it as a perfect segment of a tight circle, meaning that the arch was so steep that it was nigh on impossible to get horses and carts across it. All the same, from practically the moment the old bridge was put up, Pontypridd changed its name to Newbridge. And that's the way it stayed for a whole century, until the public got so fed up dragging their carts up and over the arch that they paid for a flat bridge, the Victoria Bridge, to be put up next to the old bridge. And so now that it had a new bridge, Newbridge became known as Pontypridd again. Are you following? No, it doesn't make much sense to me either. Let me tell you about the rocking stone instead. And this time, instead of our stone bridge builder, William Edwards, I'm going to be talking about another stonemason called Edward Williams. William Edwards, Edward Williams. Look, I know it's confusing. So to help us out, let's call this second chap Iolo Morganwg. How about that? Strangely, that's just what he called himself when he was being all bardic and Celtic and romantic, which was most of the time. Wordsworth was doing much the same in the same period. Anyway, when Iolo Morganwg saw this big lump of rock sitting on top of Pontypridd Common, he said to himself, "Ha, this must be a glacial boulder left over from the Ice Age." No, he didn't say that to himself or to anyone else, no matter that that's what it really was. What he actually said, being all bardic and Celtic and romantic, was something like, "This must be a sacred stone consecrated by druids in ancient ceremonies dating way back to the dawn of time. And now the moment has come for us to revive this age-old practice. This shall be called the gathering place of the bards, the Gorsedd. And I'll invent the Eisteddfod so we can do it there as well." And that, basically, is what happened. The nationalised Eisteddfod, which is coming to Rhondda Cynon Taf in 2024, with its harps and flower girls and swords and white-robed bards winning chairs and crowns, it all stems from a bloke staring at a stone on Ponty Common and being so proud and passionate about his Celtic roots that when he couldn't find much actual historical evidence for these ancient bardic ceremonies, he simply forged it. You couldn't make it up. Except, of course, that Iolo Morganwg did. Let's move on to the chain works. Thankfully, this bit of Ponty's story doesn't involve anyone called William or Edward. But it does feature a pair of Sams, Samuel Brown and his cousin Samuel Lennox. Brown, Lennox and Company Limited opened up in Pontypridd, or rather Newbridge, around 1816. The factory quickly made its mark, supplying the ironwork for the Union Chain Bridge at Berwick-on-Tweed, now the oldest surviving vehicular chain bridge in the world. It opened more than 200 years ago, in July 1820. From that date, Brown Lennox made the chain cable for every Royal Navy ship, right up until the First World War, and they did the same for fleets and fleets of cargo vessels and passenger ships, from Brunel's steamship, the Great Eastern, through to Cunard's QE2. My grandfather, Tommy John, who spent most of his working life as the blacksmith at the Naval Colliery in Penygraig, worked for a spell in Ponty's chain works, and my Uncle Len, his son, did his apprenticeship as a welder there. It's nice to have a family connection to such a distinguished piece of industrial history. We've done the Williamses, the Edwardses and the Samuels. Now it's time for the Jameses from Ponty. James, so musically talented they named him twice, was walking near his hometown one day in January 1856 when a very special tune came to him. He called it Glan Rhondda, the banks of the River Rhondda, because that's where he was when inspiration struck. Arriving home, he asked his father, Evan James, to write words for his composition, and that's how the patriotic song we know as Hen Wlad fy Nhadau came into being. By 1905, it had become recognised as our national anthem, and it was the first anthem ever to be sung before an international sports fixture, when Wales took on and beat New Zealand's All Blacks in what was described as the Rugby Championship of the World. After all those Williamses, Edwardses, Samuels and Jameses, let's end with another Tommy. Not my grandfather, Tommy John, but Thomas Woodward, who, strictly speaking, comes from Treforest, though Pontypridd is usually acknowledged as his old hometown. He began his singing career as the frontman for a band called Tommy Scott and the Senators. And if you don't know what happened after that, you really haven't been paying attention. He made a name for himself. Clearly, as I've been trying to explain, in Pontypridd, it's not unusual. My name is John Geraint Roberts. Join me next time for another trip down Memory Terrace in John on the Rhondda. Oh, I nearly forgot to tell you the reason I'm going to Ponty this week. There's a fabulous independent bookshop in Middle Street. It's called Storyville. They've just expanded and they've got a wonderful selection of books. They make great Christmas presents, especially one they've got in stock called The Great Welsh Anti-Novel. It's written by John Geraint, which is another strange coincidence of a name, because on Friday evening, I'm going to be reading from it and signing copies right there in Storyville Books in Pontypridd. I'd love you to join me. Look up Storyville Books on Facebook for details, or go to storyvillebooks.co.uk, or just Google Storyville Pontypridd. Hope to see you there, whatever your name is.